How's it going, sports fans? Welcome into the Glass Half Full. It's another episode of the ESPN Pensacola podcast with me, Jordan Glass. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to start today's show by talking about a TV show that does revolve around sports. Do you remember a few years back the whole situation with Donald Sterling and the Clippers, and his assistant had been recording him and he had said some things that were of a racist nature? Well, they were flat out racist, not of a racist nature. They actually were racist. But that whole situation ultimately led to new ownership taking over for the Clippers and kind of a new direction for that organization, which really has seemed to do wonders for them there with the Clippers in LA. But I mentioned that because FX has actually started a TV show for it. I'm not going to say a TV show because it's a limited series, which means it's only going to run for one series or one season of a certain amount of episodes. But it's called Clipped, and it is on FX, like I said, and it's incredible. They debuted the first two episodes last night. I watched them last night after I got done at the gym, and let me tell you something. It is wild. It is incredible that if Donald Sterling really was the way he's portrayed in this limited series. And by the way, Ed O'Neill, who you may know from Modern Family or Married with Children, played Al Bundy on Married with Children. Yeah, he plays Donald Sterling. And if he does not win an Emmy, a Golden Globe, whatever kind of award like that you can win for television, if he doesn't bring it home for this performance, I need to see the performance that did bring it home, because he does a great job so far through two episodes of being Donald Sterling. And like I said, if he is this truly as eccentric and just weird and just sleazy of a human being, then every negative thing that happened to Donald Sterling from this, he absolutely 110% deserved. I'm not saying that Donald Sterling didn't deserve anything. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that, holy cow, you see a side of Donald Sterling in this limited series that you didn't think you would see. And of course, it is Hollywood, so you do have to wonder how much of it is kind of amped up for entertainment value. But man, it's not a show you watch with the kids, I will say that. Make sure the kiddos go to bed before you start watching it. Or just, you know, make sure the kiddos aren't around. Maybe they're outside playing in the pool or something like that. Maybe they're over at a friend's house. Just don't let them be in the room when you start it. But it's got Lawrence Fishburne in it, as well as Doc Rivers. And I'm patiently waiting the third episode, because let me tell you something. Lots of shows like this have a tendency of starting slow. Not this one. It dove right into it. It got right into it about her recording the conversations. I mean, it was episode one was the episode where she met Magic Johnson at Dodger Stadium during the Dodger game and took the picture that she posted on Instagram that really kind of started this, because the conversation that she released first of Donald Sterling was that conversation about her meeting Magic Johnson and how he didn't want her posting pictures with certain types of people. And it's fast paced and it's fast moving, and it gets right to it in this episode, in episode one. So if you're a basketball fan, if you're a sports fan, if you followed what happened with the whole Donald Sterling situation with the LA Clippers, definitely checked out Clipped on FX. Great cast to it. You've got a lot of great actors, and they really do a good job playing their roles and playing their parts. So if you're looking for a show, Clipped just started. Like I said, the first two episodes has been released on FX. You can probably find it. I watched it on Hulu On Demand, so that's where I saw it at. Let's see, some actual sports news, not just entertainment world news. The San Francisco 49ers, they are trying to put some pieces together to not only get to the Super Bowl, but win a Super Bowl. You know, they got to it last year. Now they want to go out and they want to win it. And they are trying to make sure that one of their key pieces on this team does not go anywhere. They have agreed with an extension with Christian McCaffrey. Another 2 years added on, another $38 million added on there. And, man, I don't blame San Francisco for this whatsoever, right? Christian McCaffrey, one of the best offensive players in the NFL, right? He's a dynamic part of what they want to do. As much as they want to run the football, or excuse me, as much as they want to throw the football there in San Francisco, they use Christian McCaffrey to set up those passes, right? The running game brings that defense in. You start cheating those safeties up a little bit, and then you can start using guys like Deebo Samuel down the field. And in short yardage situation, you can even use Christian McCaffrey to help pick up a third and four or third and three or something along those lines on a little dump off pass or a little screen pass, something like that. So securing Christian McCaffrey for the 49ers was a smart move. You extend him, make sure he's going to be here another couple of seasons. You've got Brock Purdy back there at quarterback. Looks like maybe there might be some deals in the work for some receivers. So it looks like they're starting to kind of shore things up there with the 49ers. And they want to, like I said, they want to take that next step and actually win the Super Bowl. And they're securing the players that they feel they need there in that organization to keep that going. So we'll see how this plays out for the 49ers. I expect them to be one of the better, if not the best, team inside the NFL. They're too good. They're too well coached. And it's definitely going to be lots of fun. I'm still holding out for that San Francisco 49er Miami Dolphins Super Bowl, just because I think that would be a great Super Bowl, because Mike McDaniel and Kyle Shanahan, they have that relationship, right? They have that relationship where they kind of coached together and came up together. I mean, before Mike McDaniel took the job with the Miami Dolphins, he was on Kyle's staff in San Francisco with the 49ers. So very similar offenses that they run. Mike's got his own different wrinkles that he likes to add on to stuff, but for the most part, it's the same style offense, philosophy-wise. So I would definitely think that would be a fun game to watch between those two teams playing for a championship. So who knows? Maybe that's what we see now that Miami's adding the pieces that they are. We could actually eventually see that. So that's what I'm holding out for. And I think, honestly, if that Super Bowl were to happen, I think that matchup does favor the 49ers a little bit more. So could be an opportunity for them to finally get that Lombardi trophy after these last couple of years that they've had where they've gotten close but just couldn't get it done. The LA Lakers, they seem to be locked in on their head coach. Obviously, they've got James Borrego, who is currently the head coach in Charlotte. They've got him kind of like on the back burner, but you got to think their number one choice is J.J. Redick. And it's funny, oddly enough, bringing up J.J. Redick. He was a big part of that Clipper team when all the stuff with Donald Sterling went down. He's in that show clip. Not him, not J.J. Redick himself, but somebody plays him, an actor portrays him in the show. So it's just kind of funny to hear now that the Lakers are kind of zeroed in on J.J. Redick to be their next head coach. Now, the last 3 years, he has been doing some broadcasting thing. He's been a television analyst. As a matter of fact, he'll be a TV analyst for the NBA Finals, which gets started tomorrow night. So he'll be doing that throughout the next week or so. And then, of course, he's also got his podcast going. So he's been doing some broadcasting things the last 3 years. Obviously, played in the NBA for 15 years. Big-time three-point shooter. That's one of the reasons, and that's one of the big parts, the first parts of that episode. Doc Rivers gets to L.A., and the first thing he says when he gets to the Clippers' office is, I want J.J. Redick. He's the missing piece that we need. So J.J. Redick, a big-time three-point shooter, and he doesn't have coaching experience. That's the only question mark here, is that he doesn't have coaching experience. And that could be a downfall, potentially, yes. But honestly and truthfully, at the end of the day, he knows how to play basketball. He knows how the game works at the level of the NBA. He knows the ins and outs. He knows how to be successful. You know, he's played for guys like Doc Rivers. So if you don't think he hasn't picked their brain, he's definitely done that. So I think he's got enough experience without being a coach. I think there's a lot put on in today's society on the word experience. So, you've got to have this amount of experience. I mean, it's hard to get a job now without having 10 years of experience. Well, how do you expect somebody coming out of college to have 10 years of experience when they're fresh out of college? You know, how do you expect somebody to get experience if you don't give them the opportunity to earn that experience? So I'm all for the Lakers bringing on J.J. Redick, even though he doesn't have experience as a head coach in the NBA, he still knows how to do the job. He knows what it takes to win in the NBA, and I think it'd be a great fit. I think J.J. Redick coaching guys like LeBron, I think that would be, honestly, you know, we talked about coming up in just, what was it, 24 days on, is it June 29th or June 19th? It's June 29th that LeBron can opt out to be a free agent or opt into his final year of his contract. So in 24 days, LeBron James is going to be making a very big decision. And having a guy hired like a J.J. Redick to be the next head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers could impact that and influence that. So you bring a guy like that in, I think it's a great fit. I think, honestly and truthfully, that's the guy that LeBron wants. LeBron's been on his podcast multiple times. They have a good relationship. So I think that, you know, and honestly, let's be honest, if you're going to have your first head coaching job in the NBA, let it be on a team that has LeBron James, right? It makes your job a whole heck of a lot easier. So I think it's a great fit for J.J. Redick and the Los Angeles Lakers. I think he could do some good out there with them. And, of course, we'll just have to see what happens. So only time will tell. We've seen it time and time again where we've heard, oh, this person is their favorite. They're zeroing in, and then they hire somebody else. Whether it's because that other person backed out or somebody else made an offer that they couldn't turn down or whatever it is, we've seen this before. So we'll just have to see how things work out there with the Lakers targeting J.J. Redick to be their next head coach. The Ohio State Buckeyes, this is just a kind of a fun story here. The Ohio State Buckeyes, they have landed a running back, a four-star running back in the 2025 class who goes by Bo Jackson. Yeah, so we're about to have Bo Jackson as a running back in college football again. No, he's not related to the original OG Bo Jackson. But the funny part about this is that he's actually not legally named Bo Jackson. That's not his birth name. That's what everybody calls him. Everybody calls him Bo. But his legal name, are you ready for this? Lamar Jackson Jr. Yeah, again, not related to that Lamar Jackson either. Just like he's not related to Bo Jackson, he's not related to Lamar Jackson. Just a weird coincidence that his legal name is Lamar Jackson and he goes by Bo Jackson. And he's playing college football and he's headed to Ohio State to do so. He turned down offers from Alabama and Georgia to go to Ohio State. And I will say now, that's probably a smart move, because how weird would it be to see a guy running down the field in a crimson and white jersey for the University of Alabama under the name Bo Jackson? That would just seem weird, wouldn't it? Which, oddly enough, the original Bo Jackson almost went to Alabama, right? But ended up going to Auburn instead. But, yeah, it would just be weird to see a guy named Bo Jackson running the football for Alabama. I don't know how Auburn fans would feel about that. Probably not well, because it seems like this kid's pretty good. So he probably would be gashing the Auburn defense for quite a few yards during the Iron Bowl. And that would just, that would be weird. That would be extremely weird. That would be like a Florida fan watching a Florida State team that has a quarterback named Danny Werfel or something like that. It would just be weird. But yeah, I just thought that was kind of a fun story there. Lamar Jackson, his birth name. Bo Jackson, the name he goes by, and he's headed to Ohio State to be a running back for them, part of that 2025 class. C.J. Stroud, staying in the world of football, is talking about this upcoming season. He's also talking about his time in the NFL, especially some rivalries with the Indianapolis Colts, and I love his mentality. He's like, look, Indy hates me already. I've been in the league 1 year. Indy hates me already, and I love it. I love every second of it, and I love that that's his mentality. Because the NFL needs that, right? That passion that college football has, especially with the rivalries. You love to hate in college football, right? You love to hate your rival in college football. The NFL could use a little bit of that passion, right? There's a lot of people that say the NFL is a bunch of prima donnas just out there trying to cash in on a paycheck. And you know what? In times, the last few seasons, yeah, we've seen that. You know, guys looking more out for a paycheck and a pay dollar than what the product they put on the field looks like. But man, it's great hearing CJ Stroud talk about this, going, oh yeah, they hate me, I hate them. Let's get ready to have battle in a couple of good games this year. So I think the NFL definitely could use more rivalry games that actually have meaning. I mean, don't get me wrong, there are quote unquote rivalry games, right? You look at games like, you know, the Jets and the Giants kind of sharing the building there. They kind of have a little bit of a rivalry. You've got the Bills and the Dolphins. They have a little bit of a rivalry. But, I mean, there's really nothing like in the NFL, like an Ohio State-Michigan or an Iron Bowl or an Egg Bowl or a Florida-Florida State or, you know, a South Carolina-Clemson. There's nothing with that amount of hate and just passion So if we could get more of that in the NFL, I think that would be fantastic. Let's set up some more of these rivalries, allow them to grow, and allow them to really kind of get a little out of hand almost, you know? I mean, hey, the Iron Bowl, all that stuff, as crazy as those games have been, think about having games in the NFL like that. I'm all for it. Sign me up for that. The NBA Finals, I mentioned this a little earlier. Game one gets started tomorrow night. Definitely going to be an interesting series to watch between Boston and Dallas. Game one going to be in Boston, and the Celtics are favored in this game. They're favored in game one. My worry with the Celtics in this game is that they have sat out a little too long, because remember, they clinched their spot in the NBA Finals a few days before the Dallas Mavericks did. So they had to wait a little bit longer than Dallas did. So maybe there might be some rust when this series gets started that Dallas could maybe take advantage of. But I think the big thing for the Celtics, the injury list that was released, you know, each team has to give out an injury list going into game one. Kristaps Porzingis not on that list for the Boston Celtics. I thought that was interesting that Porzingis is not on the injury list, which seems like he's healthy enough to feel like he can give it a go. Obviously, he went down in the first round, sat out every round and every game since then, but it sounds like with the NBA championship on the line, he's going to try to give it a go. And that's what good players do. When you want to win an NBA championship, they put the injury aside. He may still be a little banged up, still definitely not 100%, but he's going to get out there and give it a go, and I think He's going to be definitely a player that Boston is going to look to in this series. But again, like I was talking about earlier this week. No, it wasn't earlier this week. It was on Friday of last week when we were talking about this series after the Mavs clinched their spot. If I'm the Celtics, I don't put him out there in the starting five. I keep it the way it is, because they have been rolling through the postseason. And I mean rolling through the postseason the last couple of rounds. You know, we talked about it when Porzingis went down. How was that going to affect Boston Celtics? It didn't. They might have even gotten better. So if I'm the Celtics, I'm not saying don't use Porzingis. By all means, use him. He's a difference maker. But don't break up the first five that have been doing so well for you so far in the second and third round of the postseason. A big reason why you got to the NBA Finals was because of those guys. Don't break it up. Put Porzingis on the second line, you know, especially with him coming off of an injury. Lessen his minutes. Give him a little bit less time in this game. Allow the other guys that have really kind of stepped up and played well together in his absence to continue to step up and play well together, even with him coming back. I think that's going to be a big key for the Boston Celtics. If they can do that, like I said, I expect the Boston Celtics to win this series in six games. I think it's going to be a great series, a little back and forth early on, but I think Boston settles in and takes it in six games. So definitely looking forward to that. Something else in the world of the NFL, talking about quarterbacks with CJ Stroud a moment ago. Tua Tagovailoa still has not gotten his deal done with the Miami Dolphins. He spoke to the media yesterday after OTA workouts, and he's not worried about it one bit. I mean, Tua's a very like zen guy, right? He's not going to be bothered and upset by too much. But he's not really, you know, I think he understands the deal is going to get done. The deal is going to happen, and it's one of those things to where it's a matter of when, not if, right? Like, he knows the Miami Dolphins want him to be the starting quarterback moving forward. They want him to be their franchise guy moving forward. There's no doubt in his mind or the Miami Dolphins' mind. Mike McDaniels has said multiple times, Tua is my guy. I don't want another quarterback back there taking snaps. Tua is the guy I want to roll with. I feel like that sentiment is returned by Tua. Tua wants to be a Miami Dolphin. I don't think there's any other team that Tua wants to be a part of inside the NFL. And so because of that, he's not worried about a deal not being done. Even though the media wants to say this, the media wants to say that, He's still not worried that the deal's not done, and I don't think he should be. I think a deal probably does get done a little closer to the season, probably late July. We'll get word. I mean, hey, we could get word later today that a deal is done between the Miami Dolphins and Tua Tagovailoa. So only time will tell, but this deal, like I said, it's not a matter of if it gets done. It's a when it gets done. So whenever they get this done is when they'll get it done, and I'm sure he'll be ready to sign it once the details are in place. Couple of transfer players to watch as we are getting closer to the college football season. In the SEC, these guys, there's a lot of transfer players coming to the SEC that are going to be having a big impact on their respected teams. But a couple of these, coming from Georgia State, Robert Lewis, the receiver, heading to Auburn, and he's going to be definitely the consistent receiver and consistent weapon that Hugh Freeze is going to be looking for there on the offensive side of the ball for the Tigers. So we'll see what happens with him. They're probably going to put him in the slot. That's where he played at Georgia State. So you got to think that they're going to line him up there in that slot and see what he can bring to that Tiger offense. Another receiver, Elijah Badger, who is coming from Arizona State to the University of Florida, had over 1,500 yards and 10 touchdowns in just his two seasons there with Arizona State. He's a big physical receiver. And I think one of the things when you watch Florida's offense, one of the things they're missing is that big physical guy, right? They've got the Eugene Wilson that's the fast guy, that's the shifty guy, can make you miss and outrun you. They don't have a big physical guy that they can send over the center of the field or that they can throw a jump ball to and have faith that he can come down with it. They now have that with him, so I think that's going to be a big swing for the University of Florida on the offensive side of the football in a season where, really, they have a very, very, very narrow margin of error with the schedule that they have. So they can't make mistakes. They've got to have playmakers step up for them big time if they want a chance at even sniffing a bowl game, let alone having a winning season. So, I think that's going to be a big pickup for them. Brock Vandegrift, that name sounds familiar. Well, yeah, that's because he used to play at Georgia. He's now with Kentucky. He's not really got this experience as far as starting in the SEC. Lots of time in blowout games there with the Georgia Bulldogs. You know, they'd be up by 40, 50 points. They'd bring him in, let him do a couple of drives in the fourth quarter or whatever. So he does have experience playing in the game, but as being the starting quarterback, which is what he will be at the University of Kentucky, there is no question about that. There is no arguing it. There is no quarterback battle in Lexington. Brock Vandegrift is going to be the starting quarterback for the Kentucky Wildcats. If he can get past the no experience thing, I think he's going to be just fine. Does have a couple of tough tests early on. He does have to go into the swamp within the first few weeks of the season. That's going to be a tough environment for him. So if he can kind of get over that lack of experience, I think he's going to be just fine. He's got all the talent that he needs. He's got all the tools that he needs to be a successful quarterback for the Kentucky Wildcats, who, again, Kentucky, the expectations for Kentucky are, you know what, let's win 8, 9, maybe 10 games, get to a good quality bowl game. That's a great football season for Kentucky Wildcat fans, right? Kentucky's not necessarily one of those teams where it's a championship or bust type mentality for the fan base. So all you've got to do is have a guy who is, again, I use this term not as a negative way. It's seen as a negative with a lot of people. I don't use it in a negative way. You just need a guy who's a game manager, right? Goes out there and does what he needs to do to win the football game, doesn't turn the football over. So I think that's what they're going to get in Brock Vandegrift. The only question there is the experience. Is that going to be something that bothers him early on? On the defensive side of the ball, Jarden Gilbert leaving Texas A&M, heading to LSU. He's got 10 games worth of experience there with the Aggies. I saved this one for last because this one might be the most important, because that LSU defense was just so bad a season ago that they need all the help they can get, especially in that secondary, and that's exactly what he's going to provide. He's going to provide some veteran capabilities there on the backside of that defense to go along with a new defensive coordinator this year. LSU's big problem. I mean, LSU could have been a college football playoff team last year had their defense been better. Right, because that offense scoring at will, right? There was no stopping Jaden Daniels. So if their defense was up to par, they would have been a tough football team to beat. So adding guys like this is definitely going to help them down there in Baton Rouge And I'm ready for the season to kick off already. I know we still got, what, another 2.5 months or something like that, 3 months, something like that. But I am ready to get this season kicked off. I think it's going to be a fun season, not only in college level, but the NFL, and even right here locally with some high school football as well. So definitely looking forward to that. And that is going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. This has been the Glass Half Full and ESPN Pensacola podcast with me, Jordan Glass. Have a great Wednesday. I'll talk to you tomorrow.